Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Psalm 35 and verse 22. Psalm 35 and verse 22. This thou hast seen, O Lord. Keep not silence. O Lord, be not far from me. Psalm 35 and verse 22. This thou hast seen, O Lord. Keep not silence. O Lord, be not far from me. These words have rested upon my heart for a few days, and may the Lord help us to look a little into them this morning. This psalm was widely believed to have been penned by David when he was under much persecution from Saul. And the same in Psalm 7. It's widely believed they were penned about the same time. And the path that David was walking in at this time was very difficult. There was so much opposition from Saul and all his agents. And David felt to be at the ends of the earth, so much under him. And really, this is the same path that every child of God will have to walk. It will not be an easy path to heaven. Jesus said, didn't he, of the tribulations that the Lord's people would have to endure. The apostles took it up too in the Acts, where it says that through much tribulation you must enter the kingdom. But not only was David plagued by Saul, he was plagued with two other things. First of all, the opposition of Satan. Satan was a real foe to David. He's a real foe to every true-born child of God. And Satan will never let the child of God have any rest. And he didn't let David have any. But the second thing David was plagued with was this. The deceitfulness of his own heart. The hidden evils that were within him. And I believe if we've got a real religion, we should know not only the opposition of Satan, not only the opposition of our enemies, but the opposition too of our own deceitful heart. It's a threefold cord really that comes against the child of God. But our text says, this thou hast seen, O Lord. The wonderful thing in it, and it's rested upon me ever since the text came, was the Lord saw it all. Nothing came by chance. This, David said, thou hast seen, O Lord. You see, the Lord saw exactly what David was walking in. And all this was for the divine teaching of David. You know, he had to learn some very hard lessons in this path. And it may be there are those of you that are walking in difficult things today. It may not be exactly like David was in here. But what you're walking in is all seen. And this is what was so sweet to me when the text came, by the Lord. You remember at the Red Sea and that wonderful deliverance of the children of Israel. The Lord saw Pharaoh's house, and he saw the weakness and the poverty and the trouble and the difficulties that the children of Israel were in. And the Lord looked down on it all. You see, so often with us, and I speak personally, or leave the other with you, but, you know, we look at all the trouble we may be in, of soul, of circumstance, or in the church of God, or whatever it be, and we're looking at that. But you see, the Lord looks down on it all. He sees the child of God, like he did David, in all that he was in. And he saw exactly the threats of Saul and all those that criticised and ridiculed David. And the Lord was in control of it all. You know, there was not one thing that came against here David, or Saul could lift up even a finger against him without permission of heaven. It's a wonderful thing, that is, you know. And so David could well say, "This thou hast seen, O Lord." And you think what you may be in today, and I don't know, but the Lord does. But may you be able to say this, "This thou hast seen, O Lord." You see, the Lord sees our weaknesses. He saw what David's weaknesses were. He was only a poor sinner, just like you and just like me. He was one that knew the plague of his own heart. And the Lord sees the troubles that you may be in, that are all inside, not seen by men. And I want to begin this morning by looking at this within the heart of the child of God. We hope to sing the close in that sacred hymn where the hymn writer said he sees the troubles, the afflictions, the distresses that the child of God goes through. And the hymn writer said he sees the struggles that prevail between the powers of grace and sin. He kindly listens while they tell the bitter plagues they feel within. And it may be, child of God, this morning that there's so much conflict going on within you. The flesh wants to go one way and the spirit wants to go the other. And there's this conflict. It's a struggle, you see. And it goes on within the heart of the child of God. And man doesn't see it. He may reflect sometimes through in the countenance. But oh, inside the Lord. But the Lord sees it. And those struggles that are going on within you this morning, he sees them. He sees the struggles that prevail. He sees the conflict. What do we read in the Song of Solomon? What shall we see in the Shunammite but a company of two armies? And in every believer, two armies are seen, the new man of grace and the old man of sin. And you think how many times you have to weep and mourn because the flesh wants its way. Our carnal state wants its way. But you know, this accords you many errands to the throne of grace, that the Lord would stem the tide of what our carnal mind wants, what our flesh wants, what our deceitful heart wants. And it makes the sinner sometimes tremble to think that the Lord sees it all. Oh, he does. Those secret sins, those sins that no man sees. And David here acknowledges before the God of heaven this, and the Lord knows what that is, this is with you and with me. This thou hast seen. And David had a sweet realization as he uttered this, that the Lord saw exactly what Saul and his agents were doing to try and destroy David. The Lord saw it. And David was brought to feel and to know that the Lord was seeing it all. And especially that which goes on in our own heart. And then, staying with our own heart, he sees the cries that are going forth, and he hears the cries of his dear people. Those silent petitions, those inward longings, those deep desires, those great concerns that are all inside. And why do you have these? Because there's life in you. God has given you to feel the life within, and then out of this you're able to see how the Lord sees it all. Those inward petitions. What does the hymn writer say? Those feeble desires, those wishes so weak, 'tis Jesus inspires and bids us still seek. You think of those silent groans when no man is with you that go out to the God of heaven. I think of some of the old saints, you know, they used to speak about at their work when the days of hard labouring on the land or whatever it be in industry, and those in the coal mines and those that had really hard graft of labour. And out of it all, those secret prayers that went forth, and the Lord saw them, and the Lord heard them. And he can do it today, child of God. This, I cannot get away from that little word, this, you see. With David, as we read in the lesson, this trouble that he was in, this opposition, this persecution, thou hast seen, O Lord. He didn't say it to any man, oh well, you have seen it. Man always wants to get as many witnesses as he can, this thou hast seen. But oh, with the dear servant of God, David, it was the Lord had seen it. Oh, he had. And that was a great comfort to David. And is it a comfort to your poor heart and mine this morning? But staying with our own hearts, he sees our sins. Oh, he does. You know, there's not one sin, however small it may be, or however great it may be, that's not seen by the Lord. He sees every sin. Think of what Heidegger said, didn't she? Thou, God, seest me. There she was, put out of the house of Abraham. A bondwoman. Thou, God, seest me. And the Lord saw where she was. He saw what she was in. He saw the circumstances of it all. Nothing is hid from the Lord. Thou, God, seest me. I may have told you before, but I remember a young lady so many years ago now. She's been taken home with cancer a few years ago, and I remember her telling me that she was at school and she thought, well, I was brought up not to go to the theatre and to any forms of worldly things. And she said, in my old nature, you know, there was that in me was determined to go against my parents and to go against what I'd been brought up in. And she goes off to the theatre with some of her friends. And there she goes in the door and takes her seat to see this evil film. The Lord spoke audibly from heaven to her. Thou, God, seest me. She said, I saw the all-seeing eye of the Lord look right through me and right into this place. There was no hiding it from the Lord, you see. She hid it from her parents, but she couldn't hide it from the Lord. And the Lord made her tremble in that theatre, you know. And she said, oh, I just had to get up and come out. I couldn't stand it. The all-seeing eye of the Lord. He's an omnipotent God, omniscient God. And he sees everything, you see. And really, this should make us ever on our guard. How we live, how we walk, how we speak. This thou hast seen. And you see, you saw that young lady in all what she was in, and the Lord knew just how to bring her out of it. But she said she had to tremble. I was thinking this morning, you know, of Saul of Tarsus when that light shone from heaven on that Damascus road. He not only shone on the road and shone in the path of those that were going with Saul of Tarsus. The Lord went further with him and it shone right into Saul's heart. And it shone so that it unfolded to Saul all the sin that he was in, all the iniquity there was in his heart. Nothing was hid from a holy God. You see, we are dealing with a holy God who delights in holiness, and holy is his name. And his all-seeing eye sees us. When we see not him, the hymn writer said, and always he is our cry. And he saw the sin of David. David, to start with, wouldn't acknowledge his sin when he'd fallen in that adultery. But you look how the Lord brought Nathan to him. The servant of God. And what did the Lord say through Nathan to David? Thou art the man. And all the guilt, the sin, the wickedness of David's heart was all revealed to him, what he was. Like Peter. You see, the Lord saw, we heard last Lord's Day morning of Peter's fall. And oh, you think the Lord saw Peter warming himself by the fire, standing with the enemies of Christ. You think of it. There was he that had always been the spokesman for the disciples and ever defended the dear Redeemer. But now, in the judgment hall, he stands with the enemies of Christ, warming himself by the fire, denying that he was one of the disciples. And it was exactly what the Saviour said he would do. You see, Peter had said that he was willing even to go to death and to the cross to stand with the dear Redeemer. But what did Jesus say to him? Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And you think when that third time when he denied the Saviour, immediately, the cock crow, the Lord saw Peter. But the mercy was this. The Lord had prayed for the dear man. You know, if you and I know the wretchedness of our hearts before the God of heaven, we shall know what David meant when he said here, this thou hast seen, O Lord. And he saw Peter denying his dear Redeemer, and immediately the cock crew. And what did Peter do? He went out and he wept bitterly. The all-seeing eye of the Lord was looking right into Peter's heart, and Peter felt it and he knew the effect of it. And he got much to weep over. There may be one here today. He got much to weep over. But the difference between Judas and the Lord saw Judas in all what he was in, what he was doing. The difference between Judas and Peter was this. The Lord had prayed for Peter. And not only that, the Lord gave to Peter God-given confession, God-given repentance, God-given sorrow. There was not a particle of it in Judas. Judas went out and hanged himself. Peter went out and wept bitterly. May each of us have the religion of dear Peter. We're prone to fall. We're prone to leave the God we love. And the more we are taught by the Holy Spirit what poor things we are and how vile we are, the more we shall have to acknowledge what's in our text. This thou hast seen, O Lord. This thou hast seen. Now, there's a case that's rested upon me ever since I woke this morning concerning this word. In the case of the dear disciples, you remember when the Saviour said to them that they should get into a ship and go to the other side of the lake. And what do we read? They did exactly what he told them. And the Lord saw that they were doing what he had told them. Let's bring it home to you and me. There may be those things the Lord has told you what to do. Are you like those disciples and doing it? Because the Lord sees. He saw the children of Israel. Many times he told them what to do, and many times they didn't do it. But the Lord saw. Nothing escaped his sight. But with those dear disciples, they did as he commanded them. They were obedient to him. And they get into the ship and they go forth. And they hadn't gone far before there arose that great storm. And what do we read? They were toiling in rowing. It was most difficult what they were in. And yet they were doing what the Lord commanded them. And there they were, alone in that sea, in that lake, in the ship, alone there. Where was the Saviour upon the shore? And not only this, it was about the fourth watch of the night, which meant it was the darkest hour. And so often, as we seek to do what the Lord commands us, what happens? Everything seems to be against us. It was with them. And then things get worse. Not only was the raging of the storm, the ship battered around, they were toiling in rowing, but it was the darkest hour. But the Lord saw them. The mercy was this, and this is what was very sweet to me as I thought upon it. We read that Jesus saw them toiling in rowing. Oh, he did. He saw them. And you think how wonderful that was. There he was, all that way away from them on the shore, but he saw them toiling in rowing. Now let's bring it home to you and to me. He sees what you're in this morning. There may be those of you that are toiling in rowing. There are those of you that are in affliction's pathway. There are those of you in sorrow or distress. There are those of you that Satan is opposing on every side. And we could go on and list a catalogue of things. But the mercy was this. He saw them toiling in rowing. And what did he do? He came walking upon the sea to them, didn't he? Oh, he did. He didn't leave them to perish, did he? Because he saw them in all their need, in all the difficulty, in all the trouble, in all the distress. And he sees you, poor soul, in all what you're in the lonely pathway, in the difficulties, in the troubles, in the afflictions, in all the things that weigh you down. And because he sees you in them, he knows just how to appear for you, doesn't he? He knew just how to appear for those dear disciples. And he came and he calmed the lake, the water, the sea water, the distress they were in. And oh, he gives them peace. And he can do that with you. This thou hast seen. But then the Lord saw David in all his weakness. He sees how weak you are, child of God. You don't have to tell him. He knows. There's a great comforting word in the hymn, isn't there? Where the hymn writer said, touch with a sympathy within. He knows our feeble frame. He knows what sore temptations mean, for he has felt the same. You think in your providential pathway, he sees. This thou hast seen. You know, nothing comes by chance. I go back to what I said earlier. Nothing comes by chance, you know. We often say, well, if this hadn't come, or that hadn't come, or this difficulty hadn't arisen, we wouldn't be like things are today. But you see, what was all this for with David? And I seek to be led into this. It was to bring David right down, to be completely and utterly and totally dependent upon the Lord. Saul was too great for him. His enemies were too great for David. But the Lord, you see, had them all in control. Oh, he had. And there may be those things that are too great for you, too difficult for you this morning, whether it's in your providential pathway or in your own soul, in your family, in the church of God. But he sees. And because he sees, he knows how to bring you to be dependent upon him. Oh, he does. And this is where David had to be brought. These things were too great for him, like the children of Israel proved at the Red Sea, like the disciples proved that I have named to you. But it wasn't too great for David's God, was it? But it kept David dependent upon the Lord. And that's where the Lord will have his people, you know, dependent upon him. When we look back at our godly forefathers, how they had little of this earth's goods. And they were dependent upon the Lord for their daily food. They were dependent for clothes to put on. They were dependent upon the Lord to supply every need. How dependent are we? And this is where the Lord was bringing David in it all. But oh, how he has to acknowledge, this thou hast seen, O Lord. He's addressing the God of heaven. He's not saying this to any man. This thou hast seen, O Lord. And it was the Lord that was to undertake for him. There's a good prayer with dear Hezekiah, isn't there, when he said, O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. And it was only the Lord that could undertake for him, wasn't it? It was only the Lord that could undertake for David here. And is it so with you? It's only the Lord that can undertake for you. But not only was he to be dependent, the Lord was using this to make him dependent. It was to prove to David the wonders God alone can do. He's a wonder-working God, you see. He can do those things that are impossible with men. And you may have got some impossibilities this morning. But the Lord sees the impossibilities, doesn't he? He saw the impossibility with Abraham and Sarah. They looked at the promise still stood. But it looked impossible that it could ever be fulfilled. And it was with Abraham and it was with Sarah. You can well understand them laughing at it. Sarah did. But the promise was still there, written in gold by heaven. So shall thy seed be. You see, we look at the impossibilities. Like I've often said, Abraham did. Sarah did. But the Lord didn't look at the impossibility. He looked at that which was possible. And He was all possible with the God of heaven. And you look how the Lord gave that beautiful word, don't we? Is anything too hard for the Lord? The Lord sees the hard things that you have got, the impossible things, but they are not too hard for Him, child of God. Oh no. And He sees just how to perform them, the very time, the very place, where He shall show triumphant grace. This Thou hast seen, O Lord. But then, think of dear Elijah under the juniper tree. There may be those of you walking like he, a lonely pathway. The hymn writer said, and often quoted, it is decreed that most should walk the darkest paths alone. But the Lord sees the lonely pathway of His children. You can be surrounded with loved ones and friends that are so kind, but inside there's this loneliness you walk in. And the Lord sees it. Oh, He does. And He saw dear Elijah under that juniper tree. Fear in Jezebel, fear in Ahab. They were out to take away his life. He was a lonely place. But oh, you think of those beautiful words, what the angel of heaven spoke to a dear Elijah as he slept, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And it was for Elijah, you know. It was too great for him. And there may be those who have got things this morning, they're too great for you. But they weren't too great for Elijah's God, and the Lord saw Elijah there. He felt he was the only one left that had not bowed his knee nor worshipped Baal. And the Lord saw there were 7,000 that had not bowed their knee. He knew, the Lord knew where they were. Or worship Baal. Now those things were all seen by the Lord, and you look how the Lord worked for the dear man of God, and He can do that for you. This Thou hast seen, O Lord. Well, the Lord knows why I brought this word before you this morning. Maybe I preach it to myself. This Thou hast seen, O Lord. And the Lord does see the struggles that prevail. He sees all that His children need. And you think in conclusion, where the dear Saviour on Calvary, He looked at His beloved mother and those that loved Him, and He saw how they felt. And He saw how to appear for them, didn't He? And He knew that joy would succeed the night. Amen.